I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to Quirks and Quarks, the national science program heard every Saturday across Canada on CBC Radio 1, live on the internet at cbc.ca, and across North America on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. Coming up next, Dummy Science. Anyone like me, old enough to remember the Ed Sullivan Show, will surely remember the various ventriloquists who appeared over the years, such as Senor Wences.
Are you ready?
No.
Take it easy. Mr. Barr is not here.
No.
Are you ready?
It's all right.
All right. Take it easy.
They were a staple of the program, left over from the old vaudeville days. And we were always fooled by their skill in making their dummies appear to talk. Except it turns out it wasn't the ventriloquist who was fooling us by throwing his voice. It was our own brains. It seems we may be wired to be suckered into believing ventriloquists. That's the conclusion from a study by Dr. Jennifer Groh. She's a neurobiologist at Duke University who's interested in how our brains interpret the different senses. And what she's found may help explain why we're so easily tricked by sounds that appear to be coming from the wrong places. Dr. Groh, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thank you.
First of all, before your study, what was the common belief about how our brains gather information from the world around us?
The conventional wisdom has been that the brain keeps the information from all our different senses separate from each other. We have five senses. We have our sense of sight, our sense of hearing, our sense of touch and smell and taste. And the conventional wisdom has been that these five different senses are processed independently from each other. And then eventually the signals converge and are mixed together to produce a more coherent and multisensory percept of the world around us.
Well, why did you think that this might not be the case?
Well, we had been interested in what preparations the different sensory pathways need to do in order to be mixed together with the other sensory pathways. And we had been looking in the auditory system to find evidence that neurons in auditory areas of the brain are aware of where your eyes are looking. So we had been looking at that question, and we were quite startled to find in the course of doing those studies that neurons in this auditory area of the brain were actually responding directly to the visual stimuli. In other words, what is really going on here is that you can think of the visual system as a camera, and you can both aim the camera at a particular location in the world, and then you can take a picture and see what's present. And what we had been looking for is evidence that the auditory system, that the ears, knew where the camera was pointing. And what we found was that not only do they know where the camera is pointing, but they also know something about what the camera is seeing at that location.
Oh, so an area of the brain that you thought was exclusively dealing with sound is actually dealing with both sound and sight.
That's right.
How did you set up your study to find that out?
Well, we did this study in monkeys, and we trained the monkeys to make eye movements to just little lights that we presented, and we then measured the activity of neurons in the brain, neurons in an early auditory area called the inferior colliculus. This is an area of the brain that it's early in the auditory pathway. It's before signals reach the thinking part of the brain, the cortical regions of the brain. And we checked to see whether or not these neurons were responding to the visual stimuli that we were presenting, to the little lights that we were presenting. And we found that 2/3 of the neurons increased their activity in response to the light alone.
Wow. So what's that telling you?
So that's telling us that these neurons respond both to sounds, because that was previously established. So these neurons are both listening and seeing what's happening in the world.
Now, you say that this is early in the pathway in the brain. Is it before the thinking part of the brain?
It's before the thinking part of the brain, or before what we think is the thinking part of the brain. So it's quite surprising to find that there's mixing of the senses happening at this early stage. And it calls into question the whole idea that the five senses are processed separately from each other before being mixed late.
Well, if this blending of the different senses is happening at this early or this primitive part of the brain, what then is the thinking part of the brain getting from that?
There's sort of two things you might think about that. One is that maybe the brainstem is doing more thinking than we thought, or it may be that the process of perception is more multisensory than we thought. It may be that very early on in evaluating what's happening in the world, you do some cross-checking between the visual system and the auditory system. So when you hear something, you may immediately check to see whether or not you see something that might account for what you hear. Or when you see something, you might immediately listen to see if you hear a sound that is related to what you're seeing. So that at a perceptual level, you're sort of putting this, you're putting the information that you're gathering through your different sensory systems together in a more automatic way that doesn't require as much thought.
It almost sounds like having an assistant. If you're really busy and there's a whole lot of fine details, you get the assistant to do that stuff first before it gets to you, filter the information.
That's right. Filter it out, come to some conclusions, and just pass the conclusions on.
So how then does all of this relate to our buying into ventriloquism?
Well, what it suggests is that when you see the puppeteer speaking, well, you don't see the puppeteer so much speaking. You hear the puppeteer speaking, but you perceive the sound that the puppeteer is making is coming from the puppet. What might be happening there is that this early area of the brain is taking the sound and taking the sight of the puppet moving and using the information about the puppet moving to sort of grab the sound and make you hear that sound as coming from that location.
Oh, because your brain is getting this information already put together by that lower part.
That's right.
Are there any other conditions where that happens other than ventriloquism?
Yes, there's a very interesting illusion known as the McGurk effect. And in the McGurk effect, if you take a video of a person saying a simple syllable such as gaga, but you dub it with a soundtrack of a person saying baba, what you can perceive when you see this video and you hear the soundtrack, what your brain does is it comes up with a compromise interpretation. It assumes that the sound is something more like da-da or da-da. And you can see these demos and you can swear that really the person is saying da-da or da-da. Then you close your eyes and you listen again and it's clear that the soundtrack is for baba.
Wow.
And it's such a powerful illusion. It's hard to do this on the radio, but it's a very powerful illusion that your thinking part of the brain doesn't seem to be able to override.
Well, why do you think our brains would have evolved this way to pre-process this information?
Well, one important thing that we need to do when figuring out where sounds are coming from is that we need to discard extra and irrelevant copies of the sounds that we're hearing.
So that you know who is really talking to you.
So you know who is really talking to you. That's right.
Or you can identify which predator is trying to eat you.
Or you can find which predator is trying to eat you or which prey is closest that you can actually capture and which ones are likely to get away, so not worth chasing.
Are there any cases in everyday experience where we have this audio illusion where we think that a sound is coming from a place that it's really not because we see something?
Well, yes. On television, whenever you watch television, you're experiencing the ventriloquism effect. When you see a newscaster reading the news, you see their lips moving, you hear the sound of them speaking. The sound that you hear is actually coming from speakers, maybe located to the sides of your television set. And yet you perceive that sound as coming straight from the newscaster's mouth. So it's really a modern-day ventriloquist illusion that we all experience pretty much every day.
Can you do ventriloquism yourself?
I can't, but I've been wondering if maybe I should learn.
Dr. Groh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Jennifer Groh is an associate professor in the Department of Neurobiology and the Department of Psychology and Neuroscience at Duke University. And if you'd like to see the McGurk effect she described, visit our website where we have a link to an example.